is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and chapter 7. Where we find that it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the earth that the daughters were born to the sons of men, that the sons of God seen the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they choose wives of these daughters of men. We have here then the seed of Seth, the religious people of the world, mingling with the profane, with the ungodly. So when people begin to multiply, why, sin likewise begins to multiply. And we find that these sons of God, they seen these women, they were fair, they were pretty, and they decided that they would take them as wives. They did not listen to the word of God, which teaches us that we should not intermarry in this way, but that they should have married religious people as they were themselves. But they took these women and they entered into them, and they likewise bared sons unto them, and these people began to degenerate in a rapid way. Wherever there are intermarriages, we find in the Bible that God never gave his sanction upon it. You can take just one man, Solomon, for an example. How many wives that this man had, and the wives, they turned his heart away from God and caused him to serve idols. Later on, you read that the Israelites, too, they took different wives unto themselves in the time of Nehemiah, and there was a great curse upon the people. And we find that Nehemiah and Ezra went to the people and talked to them, and they said that they would put their strange wives from them. It is not good then to intermarry. Young people listening to me, if you are planning to get married, marry somebody of your own kind and of your own faith, and you will have God's blessing upon it. But if you should marry outside of it, you may not have God's blessing, but God's curse upon your marriage. Here we have these people, they're intermarrying. What happens when they intermarry? You may say, well, sometimes it does work out for the good. I agree with you. Sometimes a religious person may marry a profane person that never went to church, and that person takes a turn for the good and comes to church and begins to worship God and serve God with the person that they married. But 9 times out of 10, it don't go that way. Because we are all evil creatures, we are sinful creatures, and we love sin. And if we marry somebody that's irreligious and doesn't care about worshiping God, we're soon to go along with that. That's the nature of each and every one of us. And this is what happened to these sons of God in the beginning of the new world. And they began to depart from God, from religion, and they began to live to the flesh. They began to live their sin out. This was taking place then amongst these people. And now when they had sons or daughters, giants were born unto them, enormous people of great stature. They had children that were great and immense. They were men of renown. These people were very powerful, very strong. That we find in the Bible, a mention is made that even after the flood there was giants. You find that when the Israelites sent the spies into the land of Canaan, that they seen men there of great stature. The Anakims and the Anakims were men that were great, tall men, strong men. Then we have the story about Goliath the giant, who David fought against and smote with the stone of a sling. This man, according to the commentary, he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. What a man. And later on we find in the life of David that this man had a son. And this son was killed by Abishai, the brother of Joab. This Ishbi-nab, he wanted to kill David, but Abishai slew him. He was a son of the giant. And then further on you read that David made war with the Philistines, and they killed 3 of these great men that still existed from the time before even the flood. There were then giants upon the earth. We don't find them today anymore. But these people, they had great power, great strength, and they carried everything before them. And we find that they became very corrupt. They began to live out the flesh. My hearers, the Bible says a little further on that the earth was filled with violence. What was going on? There was nothing else but lying, stealing, raping, adultery, and murders going on the world at that time. Hardly anybody was religious anymore. Nobody prayed anymore. Nobody worshiped God anymore. Everybody lived for themselves. This is the way the world was at that time. And when God looked down upon it, he saw that the wickedness of man was very great, and that the imagination of man's heart was wicked from the very beginning. These people aren't any different than you and I, my hearers. They were living it out, but we had the very same seeds in us. We likewise are wicked creatures, and we have a heart that also is deceitful and evil and filled with wicked imaginations. And now when God looked down upon these people, these were the people that he created. God had created man good and upright and in his own image. What did the man look like now? Why, he was the image of devil. He was Satan, in other words. Satan was filling these people with these things. And they were listening to him, and they were being carried away by Satan and being prepared for destruction. And now when God looked down and seen what was going on in the world, it repented God that he had made man. And it grieved him to his very heart. Now you must not understand God to be a man or a woman like we are. When God does something, he never can be sorry for what he does. He never repents like you or I. But this is placed here so that we may understand, as man between man, how that God felt concerning what was going on in the earth. I'll give you an example. Suppose now you have somebody that you like, that you love, and you treated that person with every kind of kindness that was possible. And you gave that person everything that was necessary and needful in the times that they had trouble. And you loved that person. But now there came a time that that person turned right around on you. In other words, they stabbed you with a knife. And then I'm sure that you would feel sorry that you had been so kind and so good to that person and had treated that person the way you did after they turn around and treat you the way you are. Now this is the way it went with God. He had done everything possible to mankind, and this is the way mankind was rewarding him. And therefore he was grieved, and he said, I will destroy man whom I have made from off the earth. And God then had a decision in his own mind and in his own heart to destroy man, because man was so corrupt, so evil, so sinful. And man was ripening itself for destruction. And now God looked down from heaven, and he found one man. In the midst of this degeneracy, he found one man. And Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And Noah, he was a perfect man in his generations, and Noah walked with God. My hearers, for this, what Noah found in the sight of God, was not for anything in Noah. Not that Noah probably was as bad as the other people, but he had a heart just like you and I have. He was a sinner, Noah. But God had from all eternity a purpose of mercy, of grace towards Noah. Noah was an elect vessel chosen by God from all eternity. That was the only reason that Noah found grace in the sight of God. Grace is something that flows from God only. It is called his free and sovereign favor and love, bestowed irrespective of how we live and what we did. Grace is a wonderful thing, my hearers. If you've ever found grace in the sight of God, a sinner like you, you'll marvel at it, and you'll marvel to all eternity that God ever was gracious unto you. And you'll always say, it wasn't for anything in me, but it was because of his divine and free and sovereign favor that I found grace. Have you found grace in the sight of God? Oh, then your life must be something like Noah's. What was Noah's life? He was living in the midst of a wicked world. And this man, when he found grace in the sight of God, he began to shine amongst these people. Noah was a perfect man, it says. He obeyed God and he walked in the ways of God, keeping his ordinances and walking in his law blameless. Noah then was a righteous man in this degenerate generation. Noah then walked with God. He walked hand in hand, just like a little child walks with its father. And this is the way Noah walked with God. God loved him, and he loved God. He talked with God, and God talked with him. He didn't do anything without God. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have such a life, to walk with God. Do people walk with God yet today? There was only one in this world of degenerate people. How scarce they are in the times in which we live. Where can you find a Noah in our times? When all my hearers, this man Noah, he began to warn the people. He began to speak to the people about their sinning and leaving God and departing the way they were. You may be sure he lifted up his voice for God in that wicked generation. We give him credit for that. How many of you lift up your voice for God? How many of you speak to people in love, in mercy, in compassion when you see them sinning against God? Are you ashamed of God? Dare you not come out for God? Are your lips mostly silent? Noah wasn't. Noah spake, and he warned and admonished this wicked generation, and look what happened. That God came into Noah's heart, and God revealed unto Noah what he was going to do. God said he was going to destroy man. It is written in the Word of God that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shows them his covenant. It pleases God to reveal secrets unto his people. And God revealed this unto Noah, that he was going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, and that he was going to destroy man, and everything that lived and breathed upon the earth was going to die. And all when Noah got this from God, you may be sure that he went to the people with it. All that he proclaimed unto the people the word of God, and what was going to happen to them if they continued on in their sins. All he spake to them in love, and in the fear of God. And how do you think they received what he spake? Did they listen to him? I'm afraid not. How many years have you been listening to the gospel? How many times has not God's servants come to you with the same message? Speaking unto you in the name of God, and speaking and saying that there's a flood of wrath coming upon this evil world, and that if you do not repent and return from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ye most certainly shall perish. And what has happened? I'm afraid most of you people listening to me aren't any different than them people that lived at that time, although you're not as wicked and not as profane as they are, but they gave no heed. They didn't believe. They laughed, they mocked, they joked with it. And now God came to Noah and commanded him that he should build an ark to the saving of his house. And now this man Noah, he believed God. He wasn't like the other people. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe Noah's message either. But Noah had faith. We read in Hebrews 11 that by faith Noah received the word of God, and built a house, built an ark to the preserving of his house and his family, and thereby he condemned the world. Noah then was told by God that he should build an ark, and that he should make it of gopher wood, and that he should make it 300 cubits long, and that he should make it so many cubits wide and so many cubits high, and that he should put three stories in it, and that it should be a flat-bottomed boat, and that it should have a pitched roof, and that he should build rooms in this ark, and that he should pitch it with tar or with pitch so that it would not leak. God then was the architect. God then gave Noah the plans to build this ark. Now this ark was an immense thing. If we take a cubit at 22 inches, which the commentary does, then this ark was 547 feet long. It was 91 feet wide, and it was 53 and a half feet high. The burden that this boat could carry was 80 tons substance. Imagine the size of this thing. And now when God seen that the wickedness of man was great, that God said that his spirit would not always strive with the people, that they would but live 120 years. Now in this text we understand that God's spirit was striving with these people that had been religious, but they didn't listen to his spirit. They went over the top of his spirit. And now God was going to give them 120 years. God didn't just come all at once and sweep the earth with a flood. No. He gave them a space of 120 years to repent. It took Noah 120 years to build his ark. And you may be sure when he began to build it, oh, how they must have laughed at him. How they must have said, why, that man, he's crazy. He's out of his head. He don't know what he's doing, building such a thing like that. And they must have mocked him, and they must have ridiculed him. But all the voices on the outside and all the voices on the inside didn't change Noah. Noah had faith. Noah believed the word of God. Noah went ahead building this ark, which God had commanded him to do. And it may be that even Noah had people helping him to build it. And those very people maybe that helped him build it, they drowned in the flood. This ark, my hearers, was to be for the safety of Noah and his family and of his sons and their wives. This ark and Noah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah, he preached unto the people to repent and to turn from their sins. Christ Jesus likewise, when he was here upon earth, preached repentance, speaking unto the people that they should turn from their evil ways back unto God. And Noah did likewise. And this ark was built according to divine direction. And the Lord Jesus Christ is called the New Testament ark. He likewise was given by God the Father. This ark was sufficient for the saving of Noah and his household and of all the animals that were to go therein. The ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sufficient for every sinner that feels his need of Jesus, who feels that he is not in a place of safety, who fears that the wrath of God is going to consume him or her for their sins. There is an ark prepared by God for such creatures. How many of you are like that? I wish every one of you were that way, my hearers. Oh, there's room in the ark, Christ Jesus, for the greatest of sinners. He invites you to come to him. I'm inviting you to come to him too as a little instrument in his hands. I would plead with you. Believe me, there's a flood of wrath coming upon this world. Was this world that I've been speaking to you about so degenerate? Let us take a glance at the world that we live in. What's going on every day in this world? The very same thing: swearing, lying, stealing, murdering, adultery. Every day the newspapers are filled with this. Is not the earth corrupt? Is it not filled with violence? How long do you think God can bear with it yet? The first world, it came to the end of God's forbearance and patience, and he decided to destroy it. And he did destroy it. How long do you think we're going to live on this earth, my hearers? Is it not becoming more and more corrupt in the times in which we live? And no matter what they take in hand, no matter what the authorities try to do to stop what's going on, nothing seems to help. In fact, even the authorities seem to be in the hands of the devil themselves, for they're going along with them if you look at various things that they permit. And now, my hearers, this man Noah, he built this ark as God commanded him. And God told him that he was going to bring all the animals to him, male and female, of every species that was upon the earth. Anything that creeped, anything that walked, anything that flew in the heavens, and they were going to be brought to the ark, and he was to put them in the ark. And now we find that Noah, in the next chapter, is called by God to come into the ark. Because he says, in 7 days, he says, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth. It will rain 40 days and 40 nights. Noah then, after building this ark and completing it, he waited for God. And God came to him. And God called him to come into the ark. He didn't go in until God called him. And let me say here, there will no sinner ever enter into the ark, Christ Jesus, until they are called by a divine call and moved by the Spirit of God to enter in. All the calls of ministers and all the calls even of myself do not mean anything until the effectual call of God reaches the heart. Then we will flee to the ark to be found in Christ. Noah likewise didn't enter in until God called him. And now there were 7 days to come, and then the flood would come. And then God would let it rain 40 days and 40 nights. I can just picture this man Noah in my mind. Oh, he must have went out to the people. And he must have spoken to them and said, listen, listen, oh, listen, be in earnest. 7 more days, and God is going to bring a flood of waters on this earth, and everybody's going to be drowned, and everybody's going to die. Did they listen to him? Did they give heed to him? No, my hearers, they had heard him say that so many times, that wasn't anything new to them. And that he said it was only 7 days, that didn't worry them either. On they went in their sins, ripening themselves for the righteous justice of God. Oh, we have here an example even in this our very day. And no matter who may speak in the name of the Lord, and how earnest and how pleading they may be concerning your immortal souls, people say, I've heard that before. It don't even make an impression upon the heart or upon the mind of a person. So hardened in sin are people even in the times in which we live. It is only God that can make an impression upon a man or a woman's heart. And Noah then, he had this ark completed, and God, by the ministration of angels, brought all the animals to Noah. They came from all over. And now this is the wonder of it, that none of them animals fought or made any attempt not to go into the ark. They were all submissive unto Noah, and that none of these animals fought with each other either. Now you would think that the people that were living around this ark, when they seen all these animals coming the way they did, they must have said, what is this? This is a miracle that we cannot understand. And now God had commanded Noah that of the unclean animals, he should take two, male and female. But of the clean animals, he was to take seven, male and female. And they were all to go into the ark. Now the reason why that God gave Noah such instructions and caused seven clean animals to two of the unclean was for the purpose of sacrificing unto God, and later on the animals were to be food for the people. He was to gather all the food that was necessary for himself and for all the animals into the ark likewise. And my hearers, reading in the commentary, I thought, how true. Henry says, marvel the kindness of God in bringing in two unclean and seven clean animals, because they were to be for seed upon the earth after the flood was over. And now, if God had done just the opposite, say, Henry says, imagine, he says, instead of having flocks of sheep and herds of cattle and of oxen and of cows, he said, you would have what? You would have herds of tigers, he says, and of lions and of panthers and of all ferocious animals. But only two of them were gathered into the ark. Seven clean animals to two unclean animals. The wisdom of God, even to this day. And now these all came into the ark. And then God commanded Noah and his wife and his sons' wives to enter into the ark. And they all entered into the ark in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, in the 600th year of Noah's life. But then we find that they all went into the ark. And Noah was 500 years of age when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, three sons. And now these three sons, they weren't even 100 years of age. They were married, but they had no wives. They had no children. And they each had one wife. And they were permitted to enter into the ark. Another point. What a blessing. If you have a godly father or a godly mother, if you have parents that fear God, listening to me, and God makes a distinction many times upon wicked children for the prayers and for the desires of those God-fearing parents. See it here. Noah was the only man that was found righteous. And we have Ham, he was a wicked man, which was proven after the flood. And still he was spared through the flood. We have in the family of our Lord Jesus Christ, Judas, a wicked man. And what family, even amongst us, does not have one that is wicked, that is sinful? It's a mercy if a whole family fears God. Where can we find such families on the earth today? These children then were spared because of Noah. He was a God-fearing man. He was the apple of God's eye at that time, and he was miraculously spared through that ark. And now they all entered into the ark, and after they had all entered into the ark, God shut the door. God shut them in. He couldn't get out anymore. And now my hearers, after God had put him into the ark, then God commenced to let it rain. And we read that the windows of heaven poured forth the water, and the fountains of the great deep were opened up, and the water began to come down upon the earth in great sheets and great cataracts and great torrents. You know, it had rained before. The people weren't so astonished that it began to rain. But when it continued to rain, and when it began to rain like that, then, of course, they began to be afraid. The God who had separated the waters in the beginning, the firmament above and the firmament beneath, he by his almighty power made them waters meet together and caused a universal flood over the whole world. So this flood was supernatural. This was a judgment of God brought upon the old world. For the fountains of the great deep were broken up, it says. Some of the commentaries think, and are pretty sure, that God caused a great convulsion of water in the southern sea. And that when he done this, the water came rushing towards where the ark was and where all the people were. For they claim, because all the mountains, no matter what highest mountain you may take, upon the south side of that mountain, it's the highest. On the west side, or on the north side, it's lower. They claim that after the flood, they have found in Siberia, where the ark is supposed to have come to rest, they found there animals that lived in southern climates. They found elephants, they found rhinoceros upon the tops of mountains in Russia. A proof that the waters came from the south, this rush of waters. And it covered all the highest mountains, and it carried with it all these various animals from the southern climate. Proof is that you never find in the south, upon any of the mountains, any animals from the northern climate. And when you examine the ground upon the top of any high mountain, you will always find shells, a mixture of marine substance. Proof that the flood was upon the earth because the waters carried this stuff and dropped it upon the mountains. Now we not only have it in this good word, the Bible, that this flood took place, but tradition proves that there was a flood. The oldest inhabitants of the world, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Indians, the Scythians, the Chinese, they all have it stated that there was such a flood. It's not just because the Bible says so, but the whole world consents that there was a flood at one time. And now God brought this flood upon this world. Let us picture to ourselves what was taking place when this happened. We find that the people probably, when they seen it began to rain, well, it rained before, it'll stop again. But it didn't. Soon, the streets and everything became flooded with water. Soon, the water started to enter into their homes. Soon, the people started to go to higher ground. Not only that, many of them people, they went to the ark. And you may be sure that they pounded on the door and asked Noah to open the door and let us in. Noah couldn't open the door. God had shut him in. For these people, they were in a frenzy. They knew not what to do. They went to the highest mountains, thinking probably they would be safe there. But no. The flood came, covered the highest mountains in the world. And every soul that lived, of man and of woman and of beast, died in the flood. Oh, what an awful thing, my hearers. This must have been to these people in this world. Noah and his family were the only ones that were spared. 8 people. Oh, my hearers, I couldn't enter into the ark and into the feelings of Noah. What that must have been for that man. He, the only one spared. I think, my hearers, it'll be a wonder to all eternity for Noah, and it'll be a wonder for any one of us in that great day of accounts that we are picked out of the multitude that shall stand before that glorious throne, and God shall call us to himself. Oh, what a wonder of grace Noah was in the midst of this degenerate generation. And what a wonder it'll be if any one of us have found grace in the sight of God. For then, my hearers, when God shall no more destroy this world with a flood, but with a fire, then he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, and he will gather them unto himself, and he will keep them and preserve them. And they will be given to enter into that glorious place above. Oh, if you have found refuge, poor sin-burdened traveler, if you have no refuge but Christ, if you need him, if you long after him, if you desire to be found in him, you have some wonderful marks that God has been gracious to you. God has moved your heart towards Christ as the only safe place for your immortal soul. How many of you are longing for Jesus? How many of you need him? How many feel that if you do not find him, then surely wrath will consume you to the uttermost? There is only one place, and that is in Christ, so that we will be safe from the wrath that is to come. May God bless the feeble lesson this day to your immortal souls. That's all for today.